incredible. And I think I've mentioned before about Stan Buck, who was an incredible, incredible teacher, taught me some wonderful things about ministry. And Stan passed away from a brain tumor several years ago, but what he shared with me and what he did for my life, I will never forget. I can think about, I don't even know how old I was. I was so young, it's almost one of those fuzzy memories, but I will never forget, because this is the term that I used. I was young enough, the three old ladies that taught me Sunday school week in and week out every Sunday. I remember as I moved up in grades, they seemed to be always there, whether they moved with me or they were just the Sunday school volunteers, the three old ladies. I'll never forget all the Sunday school lessons and the introduction to faith that they gave me. I think specifically, and I want to just dwell a little bit longer this morning on a man that some of you may deeply hate, even though you don't know, and for me, I deeply appreciate, the one that, the pastor that helped call me into ministry, and some of you are like, oh, give me a name. But I'm just going to go with Brian, and you'd have to figure out the rest. Brian is still with us, and I'm grateful for that. But I remember Brian doing so much to pour into my life. He would meet monthly with me. He'd make a lunch appointment, and it recurred. And every month, Brian would spend lunch talking with me, seeing how things were going, offering advice if I asked, or just meeting with me. He allowed me to get experience in the church that I was just attending straight out of college, helping with the youth. Thought that maybe I'd like to have a part in that. And that blossomed into being able to do youth ministry, and down the road, well, it led me here. Brian encouraged Jen and I to join a Bible study, and we were still kind of newish to the church, and Bible study is a great idea, but you don't really know people, and nudged me in the direction of a group that met together for a disciple study. Some of you have been through a disciple study, but it's a lengthy, in-depth study, and we made such good friends there. And we learned what a Bible study can be. It's not just the study that happens. It's the way that you grow, and it's the other people that you get to know. Brian took me to annual conference, which again, some of you would say, took you or dragged you? But took me to annual conference, and I saw the people that were being ordained, and I got to meet all these other pastors that were mostly kind to me, even if they didn't know me. And I remember they kept using these terms, the gifts for ministry and the graces for ministry, and I'll never forget Brian turning to me and saying, Devin, in you I see the gifts and graces for ministry. And I'm like, oh man, you do not know me. He, of course, helped me understand my call into ministry when I very much resisted that and tried to run from it and did everything I could to be like, no, that's not where I'm at, but thank you. He helped me understand that call. When we received our first appointment as a family, Brian and his family were there with us through so much of it, helping us move, purchasing some stuff for us that was helpful to him as he began ministry, calling all the time to make sure that I hadn't burned a church to the ground, to ask if I needed anything, to encourage me. And Brian still calls. Once a month, just about, you know, give or take, depending on our schedules, he still calls me just to say, Devin, how's ministry going, and how are you doing? And sometimes I vent to him, I'm stupider than you ever realized, what were you doing? And sometimes I ask him, this situation came up, I've no idea what to do. And sometimes we just laugh or talk about, you know, the times that we shared. He still calls me almost monthly for the purpose of helping me grow. It's incredible. Those are people that I can think of, and again, especially Brian, I'm fortunate that he's still around and he still checks on me. Those are people I can think of that helped shape me, for better or for worse, help me become who I am today. Help me grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ through their very earthly and regular presence. I'll bet you can do the same. I'll bet you can think of people that helped shape you. I'll bet you can draw names really easily without having to think too long at all of people who helped you become who you are. People that gave shape, that grew your faith, that cared about you, that regularly put time into you. Part of the beauty of All Saints Day is, once again, we have a chance to remember those people if they've passed on. If you're fortunate to have someone that's still alive, that's doing that in your life, that's sharing with you, that's helping you grow, that's challenging you sometimes and laughing with you sometimes, thank that person. Thank that person. Anyone that sets time aside from their own schedules to spend time with you is a generous person. And anyone who does that cares enough that they want to see you do well. I count myself blessed, and I'll bet again, I'll bet without hesitation, you can name at least one name. And I hope there's more. But you can name those people. Maybe they've passed away and you miss them. Maybe they're still alive and you still talk with them. But it means something when there is someone else who steps into our life and says, I'm willing to help you along, I'm willing to shape you, I'm willing to spend time with you, I'm willing to know you and work with you. Those people are special. When we look at the gospel that I want to preach from this week, it's the book of John. And when you look at the four gospels that tell of Jesus' life, you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke that all line up really closely. Sometimes they're out of order, sometimes the wording's a little different, but they line up really closely. For All Saints Day today, I want to preach from John. And John still talks about Jesus' life, but he did it in a very different way. He referred a lot to what he saw and tried to pull in others that could relate to that experience rather than just giving an account. But as John begins his gospel, in the very first chapter, John lays out a really unique friend that he saw shaping others' lives. So John could relate to exactly what we're talking about and remembering this morning. John's gospel, and this is John, one of Jesus' disciples, he begins talking about Jesus Christ. That's what a gospel is. It is a book that shares the good news. So John does that too, but I want you to listen how he begins. When I read this section, I want you to hear how he's talking about what gets to Jesus Christ. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. First paragraph kind of poetically talks about Jesus and how Jesus always has been. The world may not have recognized Jesus, but Jesus always was, is, will be. And then he goes right into this. So if I've lost you already, please wake up. Or come back in. But listen, this is the very next section in John, in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'm going to insert the Baptist, okay? John's not talking about himself. I was sent from God, I'm awesome, yeah! He's talking about John the Baptist. Talks about Jesus and that Jesus has always been and goes right to that, so I'll read it again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, Jesus, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And it goes on to say, I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one that you don't know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. John the Baptist's words. Quoting in verse 29 later on in that opening chapter of his gospel, John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God, when he sees Jesus, and John records these words, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man comes after me who has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John set out to write this book. John set out to write his gospel. John recorded these things and tried to relate them to others' lives to say, you witnessed this, you saw this. And among the things that he goes on to tell about Jesus, among the things that he goes on to proclaim about the work of God happening in Jesus Christ, he has this introduction where he talks about a regular feller named John the Baptist. And by the way, the middle name, Baptist, last name, in case you're confused. John T. Baptist, may I help you? But John the Apostle writes these things down and writes a specific section about a person. Jesus did all these wonderful things. He tells of all the wonderful things Jesus did. And he celebrates that and he says, this was the Son of God. But he talks about this regular person, this guy that was a little bit funny. He dressed in camel's hair and he ate wild locusts. And hey, everybody's got their own diet craze these days, I suppose. But he tells us about John, the little bit off, regular, normal, plain human, not the one that was promised, but just a guy like you and I, the Baptist. And John talks about what he did. And what did he do? Well, he said, I'm not the one that was sent, in case you think I am. And I don't know why you'd think that, but it's not me. And John says, but Jesus is the one who was sent. And John the Baptist baptized people, preparing them to receive Jesus. He didn't even say, I'm going to baptize you right now into a life with Christ. He didn't have the authority or the power to do that. He baptized them to prepare them. John basically, if I may, rolled out the red carpet and put the signs up and proclaimed loudly and maybe even got a soundtrack going in the background to point everyone he could to Jesus. And again, as John the Apostle writes about Jesus, he includes a special section for John the Baptist because he did an amazing job of preparing the way for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was worthy of being written about because he was so good at doing his role. And his role was to help others, to get with others, to tell others, and to prepare others so that they could receive Christ. I want you to think just for a minute, and you've got to use your imagination ratiation, but think just a minute, turn it on. Some of you have said, I don't have one of those. Engage, let's go. I want you to think of John the Baptist before Jesus steps on the scene, and he's saying, there's a guy who's coming. And he's going to be bigger than me, and he's going to be greater than me, and he's going to blow your mind. He's sent from God. John the Baptist, out in the wilderness, baptizing people in the river. He's saying this is not for, you know, all the stuff that you need to be doing, but he's saying this is to prepare you for when this Jesus comes. John the Baptist telling others, look, the Lamb of God. Look, stop looking at me. I don't want your attention. That's the guy. John the Baptist saying, Jesus is so amazing, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not worthy to even grovel up to him on my knees. Think of John the Baptist doing all these things. You still got the imagination on? Did it have time to power up? I want you to think of all the people that would have heard about Jesus before they even met Jesus because of John the Baptist. I want you to think, if he's baptizing people and preparing them, and he's proclaiming how great this Jesus is, I want you to think of the condition of the hearts for the lives that he touched, for the people that would listen, that would have been prepped and ready. He was like priming them up and then sending them to Jesus. The people that didn't have to be softened, that didn't have to ask for a miracle, that they had listened to John, they accepted that, and they were ready when they saw Jesus to live a changed life. I want you to think of how many people came out to see, some of them just because they heard there's a freak show in the wilderness. Some of them because they knew this Messiah was coming, but they weren't sure who it was. And there's John ready to take him. You want a freak show? There's a guy who's going to die and rise from the dead. You want to know who the Messiah is? It's this guy Jesus. How many people do you think he impacted before they ever met Christ? One more time. It was large enough that John the Apostle thought, I'm going to write this guy's story in the midst of the story of Jesus. Because here's what's cool to me, if you will. We read in that text, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Emphasis on man or person, if you like. Emphasis on sent from God. There was a person sent from God, whose name was John, and then goes on to tell the wonderful things that John did to further the kingdom of God. What if someone could write about you, there was a person sent from God whose name was Shirley, who did wonderful things for the kingdom of God. There was a person sent from God whose name was Michelle. There was a person sent from God whose name was Vicky. There was a person sent from God whose name was Tom. There was a person sent from God whose name was Dave or Phil or Eli or Jesse or Naomi. I mean, it goes on, but you get the idea. What if we could be just like John, recognizing that we are sent, recognizing that it's not about us, and doing our part to the very best that the kingdom of God expands? What if there was a person sent from God? Insert your name. You've testified that there are people like that. You've testified that there are people that walked into your life in some way or another and made a difference as to who you are. You've testified that there was a person sent from God, and what you said is, they shaped me for God's kingdom. Can't you do the same? Jeanette all but preached my message for me this morning. Thank you. There was a person sent from God named Jeanette who knew what Devin was going to say and said it very well for the children to understand. There was a person sent from God, and place your name in there. And someday, if you would be willing, like Brian in my life, or like the person you're thinking of in your life, if you would be willing, now listen, pause, if you would be willing, not to just do a random act of kindness that has its merit, but I'm talking about something different. If you would be willing not just to be positive around, that's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. If you were willing, and for all the times I talk about seeking the lost and working with those that don't know Christ, and that's important. Back up, that's important. But what about those in Christ that need guidance as they go? What about those in Christ that need encouragement? What about those in Christ that if you took half hour of your time regularly, weekly or monthly, and you said, this time of my life is going to be investing in somebody else that's growing in their faith. This time from my life is going to be specifically set aside. I will not tread on it, but I will take it and I'm going to use it for one other person to help them grow. What if you were willing to make some other person part of your mission field that you could help them grow? You don't have to worry about what you'd need to do, because God, I believe, would guide you by His Spirit. You don't have to worry about what would you need to say, because God, I believe, would equip you with the words. What if I'm not a super holy person? It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to say, I remember when that person gave their time to help me grow. Think of all the lives you would affect. And someday, I want you to think of all the potential sanctuaries and all the possible church services and all the possible candles that could be lit to represent you and what you shared with somebody else. And if you say, I'm just too old to do that, you're wrong. And I want to stand up this morning and emphasize, you are wrong. And if you say, but I'm too young to do that, your time is coming. Because we can go to the very youngest person present in this church this morning. It could be young Elizabeth, that someday we could say there was a person sent from God named Elizabeth that just took time and intentionally sought out a person and invested in their life. And that person would say, I remember that Elizabeth gave. Or think of the youngest person you know. And someday, out of gratitude, because they've been shaped and they're a different person, God's kingdom expanded because of what you poured into their lives. written in our scriptures, in the book of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he helped point people to Jesus Christ. All Saints Day, it's real easy. Normally, we gather together and we remember, and some of us with bitterness in our heart and sadness, but a little bit of joy, and some of us with laughter and great joy, we remember those that have made a difference to us. And I want to turn that around, and I want to say, go make a difference. Go invest in someone's life. Do you like that phrase? Because that's one Brian gave me. I use it all the time now. Invest in someone's life. If you're just an average person saying, I just come to this church and this is my spot in the pew and this is what I do, I'm challenging you, do one step more. Grab one of the young people and say, hey, can we just spend some time talking about what I've experienced? Maybe it'll make a difference in your life. Maybe it'll help you with your decisions. Maybe I can just tell you about what I know. If you say, I lead a Bible study, good for you. Lead a mentoring time with someone else too. If you say, I'm Pastor Devin's right-hand man, raise your hand because I don't know who that is, but I'd love to have you up here. And take someone on individually and offer them what you have. Because if you don't, and you say, I can't, what you're saying is God hasn't shaped me. And I don't believe that's true. There was a person sent from God whose name, and insert your name, expanded the kingdom of God, and every person in here has that potential, has a story, is developing, and has been developed by someone else. God is good, and God is great, and God blesses us richly until we overflow so that we can go bless others richly and be lights in the world now. And hopefully out of gratitude, someone will light a candle, remembering what we shared with them later. When we do this, we make a kingdom difference. When we choose to spend just a little of the time that's important to us and someone else, they notice. When we do these things, we multiply the saints. Amen. Would you pray with me? So send us out, God. Remind us that we are a royal priesthood, that we have all been called, that there's no one here that you didn't give your son's life for, and there's no one here that can't hear from you if they will come to you. Remind us, God, we are called and we are sent. And God, truly send us that your kingdom may grow. And we give all praise and all glory and ultimately all thanks to you. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, amen.